Hi folks, welcome back to another episode of Reload Podcast. My name is Connor McCann and joining me as always are
Lee Maxwell
and Nigel Lamont.
So we are speaking to you sleepily a week after Dubshed.
Zombie mode.
Yes, I think the three of us are still fucked. So we arrived at Nigel's house and he says, how are yous? And
the grunt and went, meh.
Yep, and Nigel responded with the same grunt. We're like, Okay, we're all in the same boat here. So
the energy is not topped up again yet.
No, it's been... I've been trying all week, to be honest with you. Like, I've taken the week to myself to try and just fucking get myself together physically and mentally, and it's not working at all.
I play five-a-side on a Thursday night down the local leisure centre, uh-huh. And I was walking about.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just, everyone's going, are you all right? I was like, nah.
No,
it's like not. A, like the over 70s game, we just dander around a bit.
It was like that Father Ted yes. tournament.
Just you, though.
Yeah.
It's been a rough week after this night, although it is weird, like yesterday and Friday and today, I just keep thinking to myself, Jesus, it's hard to think it's a week ago that we were doing this, but it doesn't seem like a week ago.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it was a good weekend. We'll talk about it
definitely
very shortly. We'll kick in as usual then with what's new. So Nigel, what's new?
What's new? Sorry, cut me off guard there. Well, Dubshed, so... Nigel has done nothing since the last episode.
That's good. Did you do anything to your cars in the run-up to Dubshed? I suppose you were that busy.
I washed one.
Oh, well, that's good.
I washed the club sport.
Yeah, it looked so good at the show.
That's a week's work right there, you know. What have I up to?
Have you bought anything? No, I've not bought anything.
The club sport goes into Phillips this week to get the service and warranty work sorted in the headlight.
Thank fuck, says you.
The coming weeks... I get my life back together. Sound like I'm just out of jail or something. And mentally I am. The Mark 1 will be getting built back up and I have to get this, the A4 cabriolet roof fixed and get it up.
That's right, actually, yeah.
The breakdown of the equipment and stuff from Dubshed. So I have to reorganise my garage basically. So I've made a start in it. So everything's lying everywhere at the moment.
Aye.
But I sort of look forward to doing that because you let your garage sort of build up and a mess, and it's the perfect excuse to reorganize it.
Oh, yes. I need to do that at the minute.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah. So, are you done?
That is it. Very exciting. I know.
Lee?
Just stripped a few more bits off the Jetta, to be honest. So I think on the last episode I said I was going to take the seats and dash out. I duly have done that. And take out the carpets and stuff. Here's an interesting fact. Carpets in a Mark 1 held in with what looked like panel pins. Like wee tacks. Like hammered in.
Right.
Never seen that before. Very strange. Thought, is this normal or has someone done this? Stefan tells me that's normal.
There you go.
Apparently it's a thing.
Apparently his French Mark 1's the same.
Bonjour.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, you know, those wee French. Like teeny, like wee panel pins, wee tiny nails.
Yeah.
Very strange. And then, you know, those snowflake clips? Like the wee...
Hold your exhaust shields on?
Oh, yeah.
They're horrible.
Oh, my goodness. What a nightmare. There was like three of them along the front where it goes up and behind the pedals and stuff and behind the dash. They were a nightmare. Shout out to Jake. Thank you for assisting me with taking the carpets out because I don't think I could have done it on my own.
Jake's one of those people that you just give a task to and just he's relentless. It just happens. Yeah. You know,
Get that clip off.
He might not know how to do it, but he'll work it out. Yeah. He'll get there.
But yeah, other than that, it's been Dubshed and recovery.
Well, the 2 weeks or the week between recording and Dubshed for me was absolutely fucking hellish with a list of stuff to do to get the car ready.
It's just what you need for... A crazy 48 plus hour weekend at car show.
Usually Dubshed takes it out of me. It was ready taken out of me before Dubshed. Like I was going into Dubshed, burnt out. Like
the air was let out of the balloon.
It was. and I can't work out if Dubshed was easy for me or it just seemed easy compared to the week before. It might. I don't really know what. Thankfully it was good though. So the first problem I had... I was sorting out the stance at the back of the car to try and get it right. I had it sorted, and then for some reason it unsorted itself. I don't know how. I think when it was airing out, it stretched the back arches slightly, and then it started to slip down over the wheel again rather than just sitting arch to lip. So I had to sort that out. And then the fronts we got the new wheel bearings and stuff in, offered to bring it back up, set the camber to like half a degree or something, I think I had it set at, and then realized that by the time I put a full set of brake pads into it, I needed a 10 mil spacer behind the adapter to get the clear, and it looked like that before it was aired out. So as you can see, the treads outside of the wheel arch and everything.
Delicious.
So that was fun. So I duly ripped the full set of brake pads out and put a half set of brake pads in, which gained me a right bit. I think by the time I got it down to, by the time I did that, ground the fuck out of the calipers with a grinder and what else, cambered the shit out of it. I ended up, when it was aired out, it just tucked in no more, and that got me what I needed. Now, that's not a permanent solution. I want to run a full set of brake pads, and I hate front camber. I hate how it drives with it. I don't mind a wee bit, but I hate the look of it and I hate how it drives. So I'm going to go with the SRS Tech fiberglass wider wings, which Dylan has on the White Mark II. If you're at Dub Shed, it was over at the stage. I like them. I was worried about them being too wide compared to the back proportionally. Connor Old has a set that are 32 mil wide, and I kept looking at them going, they look too wide to me.
And the backs don't match.
Yeah. And then I was talking to Dylan about it. I says, I think I'm going to go with the SRS wings or SRS Tech. And he says, oh, I have them in my car. And I was like, well, I didn't notice that. So that's something at least.
Yeah.
And I think with my car being black as well, you'll notice less of that as well. It'll hide some of the body lines.
Car looked great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. So it did.
It was fucking kicked together. But it got there. Like,
that's the rest of show seasons for Connor, to finesse these things.
Yeah. Like handbrake cables, I'll give you an example. Handbrake cables were in it. Matt was like, I think they're the ones for it, but have a check. Put them in. So when they feed up through the body, obviously the end of the cable is like a threaded, like a threaded section at the end of the cable. You put that through the end of the handbrake cable and put a nut on it. Oh, like they were past the handbrake cable by about 5 or 6 inches. I was like, fuck, I need something, because the car has no, at Dub Shed, the car had no brakes either. Like, they weren't even plumbed, because I was just like, well, I'll take it off in the handbrake, so we'll do that. So that's why I was adamant that I needed a handbrake. So
it comes in useful.
Well, that's it.
The ability to stop.
To take up the, coming off the trailer especially.
Yeah.
To take up the slack, the 5 inches, before I could get a handbrake on, then I just put a load, I think I put 20 M8 washers over the sleeve of the handbrake cable, and then a wee nut on it. And just went, what?
Proper bodge.
Yep. Oh, proper bodge. So if anything, I'm determined. Like, I'll not let things beat me. So that was good. Wheel fitment was a big talking point of the weekend as well. Like, against the calipers too, which was fun. What else did I do? Oh, yeah, that was another one. In the spirit of everything fucking fighting me, I set the gear alignment, which with those Mark IV shifters is easy. Do you ever do it with a 5mm pin?
No.
Fuck, it's so easy. So the end of the cables where they go into the gearbox, there's like a wee like spring tensioner thing you can release, like twist it. So you put the gearbox end, the shifter, into like the service position, and then pull the gear stick gator up, and there's two holes that line up on the edge of the gear stick, and you put a wee 5mm like drill bit or a pin running on it. And then that's it set perfectly at the gearbox and in the car, and you just release the two ends and the cables, and that locks it into place, and you pull the pins out. So I had that done. You do that in about 20 seconds. It's so fucking easy. And I put it up on the ramp, started the car, and drove it through the gears. I went, oh, well, perfect. We have all the gears. Next thing, there was a clatter and a bang. The eagle-eyed amongst you at Dub Shed, somebody actually pointed it out, I think it was Gavin Black, was they should have retaining clips across the calipers on a R32 caliper. They weren't there because, I don't know if it was because they were a bad fit or because they were aftermarket or if it was the brakes weren't bled. It rattled out and caught in the spoke of the wheel and chewed up the powder coat on the inside of the wheel we were just done. And I was like, oh, that's fucking fantastic. So that was pretty much how the entire week went. We set the car down on the ground. I can't remember what we're setting it down for. Just to check fitment or something like that. And I set it down on the blocks because I didn't know if my air ride set doesn't look very high. I want to run it low. And set it down some blocks then to get the ramp arms out. And it started to roll slightly. And I says, Jack, would you grab that? And he was like, oh, I'll pull a handbrake on. He says, no, there's no handbrake. Just grab it there. And this went back and forth. And then it rolled off the block and onto my foot. And of course, was I telling this at Dubshed?
No.
Of course, the tire, which had just been fitted, was soft. I think it was a leak around the valve. And now, of course, the one that didn't go under my foot, or the three that didn't go under my foot, all full pressure. This one, zero pressure. So the weight of the rim was actually acting down right on top of my foot. The safety DCs did not go in well. And I couldn't even roll the car then because the ramp arm was locked behind the wheel. And the block was locked in front of the wheel that it was sitting on. And then Jake, in my head, it was absolute panic. But apparently it was just like, I was just calm. It was like, can someone take this off my foot, please? And then I think he had a bit of a panic moment and I went, fuck it. And thankfully I could reach the button of the ramp and I just fucking smacked the up button and it lifted. Now I knew because the car had shifted, it wasn't in the right points. And of course it crunched the bottom of the two wings.
Ah, delightful.
So that was fucking brilliant. Then I genuinely thought I broke my foot at that point. Like it was bad. And even for 3 or 4 days after, it was like really sensitive. And a big mad black bruise across the top of the foot. And when you break something like that and you see it and you're like, that's not good. But thankfully it eased up. I knew about a couple hours later that I hadn't broke it, but it was fun.
I bruised my hand putting shelving together.
Oh, smacking it for
just
the shop.
Smacking it down.
What else to do?
Could have been worse. Could have been your dad.
Oh fuck, I'll tell that story in a second. Dad got a bad doing over Dubshed weekend. Fogel come around, made up the exhaust piece for connecting the downpipe to the exhaust. Fucking, oh that's right, he did it that day. He dropped it off that day we were recording the last time actually.
All right.
So got that fitted up. What else? I'm going through my RMS build thread. More fucking fantastic work by the boys in the south. That had been working on the car for Matt. I went to connect the throttle cable. So as I talked before about, there's an internal floor mounted pedal box. Throttle cable, C solid at the inside end, like in the cab, not at the engine end,
yeah.
Which was fucking weird. So I don't know how the fuck that happened. And once I cut that out, the rest of the cable was totally free. So I don't know what it was. So I hadn't time to order anything. Like Merlin Motorsport and stuff would do throttle cable kits for rally cars. Hadn't time to order anything. I was like, right, what the fuck can I do to make this work? Yeah. Halfords. Bought a
knight in shining armor that is.
Yep. Straight into Bycut and bought an inner and outer brake cable for a bicycle. Got her sorted. So ended up having to make up the wee ends and I only had one, like the wee crub screw nipple ends you can like tighten onto a cable.
Mm-hmm.
I only had one of those for the throttle body end and needed one for the pedal box end. So I ended up cutting a bolt like down through the threads and then slipping the cable down into it and then putting a nut up against it and that done it, which I can show you there.
Oh,
so basically I've made my own. Do you see that?
Mm.
So yeah,
throttle wouldn't be the most reliable.
Well, that's the pedal. The fucking, the whole thing with this shite pedal box that I fucking hate, it catches the underside of the dash now that the lowers are in.
Ugh.
So that's what I was taking off the trailer. Next thing it revved away up and it's like, fuck, so I just killed the engine. That's what it was. It was when you had to reach down and pull the pedal back as well. So
need to trim the bottom of the.
Yeah, it's the pedal box is never going to last in that car anyway. Fogel's actually mad looking for his Polo, but I just don't want it for mine. So it's coming out to fuck. Put the 16 valve splitter on it because I thought it went better with the chunky wheels, the big 17s and stuff on it. And then I took it out and decided to clean it. So I was kind of shitting myself at this point because there was always talk of that the paint in that car was really, really soft. And like, I'm not a detailer. It's a black car. There's no metallic in it. It shows every mark. And it's been lying uncovered for about 4 years in a fucking shed. And we've been working around it. So I got some advice and took into it. And I tried to do as much of a contactless wash as I could. So like snow foamed it. No, I citrus washed it. Then I pressure washed it. And then I snow foamed it. And then pressure washed it. And then I think at that point was I went in with the mitt then and just washed it as gently as I could. And I was actually surprised at how good a condition the paint was in.
Yeah, it came out really well.
And then I took into buffing it and again I got a bit of advice and went for it and basically using the products that I had at hand kind of thing because again it was all last minute and nothing, I had no time to order anything. So yeah, it came up rightly. Paddy was around for a couple of nights as well. He cleaned the interior and the glass and done a cracker job on it and just kept pushing on with it, which was nice. I think me and him were done a couple of like half one in the morning type jobs and then off to work the next day, which was
absolutely
always fun. But no, it made Dubshed, and then Stefan obviously trailered it down for me, so it made Dubshed was a nice wee boost for me to push on with.
Sure, Stefan bringing the 190 to the show.
He did as well.
What a class.
So that's, I worked it out. That's the first time in 6 years that I've had a car to show. And fuck knows when it is for Stefan. Probably longer even.
He brought the green one.
He had the green one 2019.
That's right, don't tell the government. But yes, the green one was
there. We're not talking about the car, obviously.
That's it. His green mark, what's that, 71? He'd be shouting at me. It was some sort of mark anyway, some old stack light mark.
The leather and three digits behind it, the model, isn't it?
I wouldn't have a clue. Yeah. Like, I am terrible with them. He talks mark numbers to me and I'm just like, I have no idea. I have to Google it.
Two.
Yep.
As well, we're talking tractors.
I know a 124 is his grand's old mark, the E-Class that he has. I know that. And a 201 is a 190, because that's what he has.
So a 190 is a 201?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. A W201 is a 190. Aye, I know that. Because that was his Instagram name for a long time, I think. Fat Man.
So we got the Dubshed. What's the objective show you want to push for to drive to?
I don't even know. Like, I literally this week, I haven't even thought about it. I'd love to have done DB in the key, but it's not going to happen because obviously I need to do the work to the car and get it MOT'd, which is...
An MLVW be in America.
Yeah, so I can't make MLVW, so probably whatever's after that. I want to take in and make a start now and push because I need to plumb the brake lines. There's 1,000 wee jobs to do, but nothing major. I need to get the wings bought. I need to do the brake lines, sort the throttle cable. Just stupid shit. Like,
you fix that leaky airbag.
I want to reseal the back bags leaking like mad, the back left. I think it's just no ring on the top of it from what I can hear. It's either that or the fitting, but I think it's the O-ring because the fitting's new. And I say just loads of stupid wee jobs, yeah. But I'm just looking forward to getting that out and driving the shit out of it. It's nowhere near my standard of what I want as a car, but I want to drive it this year and then get into the engine bay and do what I do best. I don't do anything best, but like just do what I like to do, which is make things shiny and
get stuck in.
Aye.
Finesse.
But no, it was fun having the car there. It was nice to, although I had to fucking clean it when I was there, which was, you know, never the enjoyable part for me.
There's a lot of dust in the cars at the end of the 2 days.
There was. Mine actually was pretty good.
Where just where Gethin was parked, there was just a layer of
and
dust.
Phil Drew's Mark 6R, the black, was just
on Sunday
destroyed.
Night when the sun was setting.
You could see
a layer of dust.
Yeah. It was so windy over the weekend, though. That was
That's it, yeah. Well, there was no rain, which was good.
Nope.
No, I was happy with that. So thanks to everybody who helped me in some shape or form. It was good. And it was nice to chat to people about having a car there, which was fun. I was actually worried as well, because there's a full track slag exhaust in that with no catering in it. And the track slag system's like maybe 3-inch. And that's an NA car. There's no turbo on it now. And I thought it would be really, really loud, but it's not. Mm. Like, when I started, I was like, oh, this is fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, some things with a big exhaust. It sounds like it's fucking... It's like started at the end of a fucking... jam pipe, but no, it was good. What else? I like the interior in it. That early interior got off Connor Old. It's like a grey and red and black stripe. And I've never really had a nice cloth interior before. And it kind of kills me because I know it'll not last compared to a leather one, you know, but for now it's nice to have it.
Yeah.
Although for all the miles that Carl do, it'll do a couple of thousand a year. It'll be fine, I'm sure.
Cool.
What else? I think that's it for me. I've just been trying to recover this week then.
Yeah, that's the theme of this episode. Yeah.
Recovery.
Recovery.
We'll move on to news then, folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we can't really go on to much more news without first talking about the bad news that Drift Games had.
Oh, fuck me, yeah.
So they had a fantastic stand at Dubshed this year where they launched their Liberty Walk Lamborghini... Gallardo?
Oh, I don't do Lambos, but whatever I know it has a 2JZ in it, I know that.
Yeah, so Liberty Walk kit and 2JZ in it. They're revealing it and the new graphics and stuff like that. And they had all their cars. I think 10 cars on show, basically.
Yeah, at least.
Fantastic stand they put on. They had a great weekend.
That trailer with the awning and all is so impressive. And you nearly forgot there was a lorry in behind it.
Yeah.
You didn't even see the lorry and you think, how do you not see a lorry? But it was like...
Well, I was talking to Dave on the Friday. That's part of their Driftmaster setup.
Ah, that makes sense.
They're doing a European tour in it, so that was their first outing in it. And it's an ex-Koenigsegg transport vehicle.
Right, okay.
So it's transported some hardware in its time.
Aye, that's probably well set up for it then.
Yeah. So, yeah, they came and done the show. Really enjoyed the show. And they went home, and I think it was Tuesday the 9th of April. Started going around social media then that, not Drift Games, but the Engine Block, which is part of that whole building. So there's, I think there's six businesses in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a motorcycle place, detailing place, Drift Games. Dean's Motor went on fire initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then just caught the whole building.
Mm-hmm.
When they went on Instagram, they were straight on Instagram showing footage. Like, it seemed to be that the fire was nearly under control, it looked like.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Well, funny, there was a big thread about it in RMS, and there's a couple of the firefighters on it, and that's what they were saying, like the construction of those older warehouses and stuff means that there's no real fire breaks. So once something starts, and goes. I think what David said on social media was that it didn't start in their unit. It started elsewhere, but once it goes, it just rips through. And like they seemed to, and then afterwards I seen Dean Motors didn't really get hit too bad. Like a lot of their stock was untouched, maybe just smoke damage more than anything. Right. But because it was a Chevy Apache pickup truck, like an old American style one, and it looked untouched. Fair. Yeah, where the Drift Game setup just
wiped out,
tore through. They'd done the video obviously, and like it's a hard watch going through it.
And in fairness to them, the very next day I think it was, they had a full 15 minute video and they documented it as they arrived at the fire, and like
it's worst case scenario for any of us.
Yeah, bits like
because that's,
you think that's 10 years they have.
Nostalgia lost through it. You like they were talking about, if you go back and watch a couple of the other videos and stuff that they've done about the actual build of it, Cullman's, who have been quite close with them, and a lot of the high-end cars done all the building work on it, but like there's no way them boys didn't put their own time and effort into it as well. So like insurance doesn't pay for that.
No.
You know, memorabilia like stuff from Dave's Drift Car, ticket stubs from shows they ran and stuff, you know, you don't get any of that back. No. That's nothing replaces that. It's just, it's fucking brutal.
You said, you know, all this footage from IDC and everything.
It's gone.
I think they said they had one camera and one laptop left that weren't in the building. Everything else is gone.
And then I was sort of hoping, I was like, fuck, maybe they haven't offloaded everything from Dubshed, but then that's their full-time job. You know, I was thinking like by the time they get home, go to work, and then you start offloading in the evening. But
that is their job.
Yeah, that is their job. Like Monday, they probably had all the cars back in, maybe Monday, Tuesday, and then the next thing it goes on fire.
Well, as he said on the video, that they had been in the lorry until that day. Mm-hmm. And as he said, the irony of it is the first day in fucking months, it hasn't rained.
Aye.
And that's why we took all the cars off the lorry and put them in.
Mm-hmm. Aye, trying to keep them clean and dry.
Like you think back, they used to be out at Curran Motors yard, they had a shed.
Mm-hmm.
Out towards Mondello.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have a premise in there.
No, it's sad. Like
They must have completely moved, because they used to have offices where they'd done a lot of their work in Mondello.
Mm-hmm. I know they have their own office and all in that. Well, they had in that building that's set up.
But there's been outpouring of support, and they put a. They're trying to keep the lights on as such, because there must be 10 staff on the payroll there.
Well, that's it. You have staff on the payroll. You have bills to be paid. You have big loans debts that need paid.
Dave is totally clear. He says we have big debts.
Yeah. Aye. Yeah.
If you talk to Dave, he'll tell you it straight. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's a business. You know, yeah. They always have business loans and stuff, and that's just one of those things that, like, whether it takes 6 or 8 months or 10 months or a year to insurance to pay out, those people still look in their money. You know, the banks always want their money. That's the problem.
I think it was Paul Glenn was saying there was a place went on fire, a mechanical place went on fire last year, and they still haven't been paid out on it.
Jesus. Aye. Well, that's it. And especially, you know, when there'll be a dispute over who caused it, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Obviously, it'll be a battle between the insurance companies, and then it'll be valuations. And
yeah. And like the other thing is, then if that is their full-time job as a media production company, how do you make media production stuff, like, you know, like equipment? That's fucking brutal. Although I did see Liberty Walk offering them as well, this will probably go towards content too, is that they said they would ship their Lamborghini drift car out to them, and they could use it wherever they wanted in the world. They would help them out with it. So that's, you said, nice. Like, the support's been great that way.
They've done a release on their website of a what was this t-shirt called? It said something on it. Not going away or something.
Never give up. Was it that one? Yeah, so they've said that they're not doing like a GoFundMe or anything. They want to try and work their way out of this. And obviously they lost all their merch as well. I think he said that 80 grand of merch.
Yeah. But they've sort of done a GoFundMe on the shop where it's a digital poster.
Yes.
And you can donate whatever you want, basically.
Yeah. No, it's good. Like, they're not asking for handouts. They're asking for help, sort of thing. Yeah, that's the thing. But no, it's shitty
show your
situation.
Support and, like,
help them.
Say whatever you want. Those guys have raised the car scene in this country. Like, there was no big major content producers in this country at that level.
No, that's it. No, no, definitely not. There isn't. No, there's not. Yeah.
And like, he's went worldwide with that brand. Americans now know what Drift Games is.
Well, funny, I was listening to Revival there yesterday and they were talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there was a few other ones, like other like YouTuber type
obviously
ones.
Obviously, they had a lot of time with LZ and Jimmy Oaks and stuff.
Has LZ said anything or Jimmy Oaks? No.
I don't know. I haven't watched any of this stuff in ages, But no, it is devastating. It's like, you wouldn't more shit than anybody.
Heartbreaking. Like, I'm not going to sit here and bullshit and say, oh, they were my favorite people, because I've openly slagged them off on the podcast before, although it's mostly in jest.
Yeah.
But Jesus, you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy.
No. And it is a hard watch.
You watch the video and they're just...
Yeah.
Like, Dave's normally quite...
witty and...
You know, good at talking and you can tell he didn't know what to say. He could hardly speak.
No.
What the fuck do you say?
Yeah.
Like, that's just the rug pulled completely. Mm-hmm. So, show your support. Buy something off them.
I'm sure we'll come back to that many episodes as well. Like, there'll be more developments on that too, which is fucking mad. That doesn't go away. Speaking of local, just another thing as well. I got back to the Mark II on Saturday night or Sunday night after Dubshed and parked it up for Stefan to come and trailer at home the next day. And I seen this yellow bag in it. And it was from Ross Manicam.
Hey, Kim.
Anakim. Fuck you, Ross, for your rebrand. They put a wee bag in, I guess, and said on it, we've picked your car as one of our favourites, so have a couple of our favourites on us.
Oh.
I was like, that's class. So
it was a nice touch.
Proper order.
The next time I clean the car, which is probably about 6 months, I'll be using this stuff. I'll report back. News then. What have we got for me? Aye, so we all love government overreach. And I mean, it is insulting to the government to say that they overreach, because they certainly do not. Not my government. Speed cameras are not our friends, as we know, but they're trialling new cameras now.
Okay.
AI cameras to detect other road faults. So not wearing your seatbelt, using your phone, basically bad examples of driving. But these cameras are going to be...
It's a pilot scheme.
It is, yeah.
I talked about that a few months ago.
Well, they're going to mount them onto buses and lorries and...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so there's no escaping, folks. So basically these will be multiple cameras on multiple vehicles. Now, I wonder what way this works, because the only way they have to display the signs to show... Like, if you have a speed camera, there'll be signs to say this area is a speed camera. I wonder where that falls, you know, that
unless
kind of
they just use them on roads that have them camera signs up.
Yes, well, probably that, yeah. So that's coming.
Joyous.
Yay.
So participating, we don't have to worry about it too much, but you know what happens in England, it'll always make its way over here, is participating in the new trials. Our esteemed police forces, including Durham, Greater Manchester, Humberside, Staffordshire, West America, Northamptonshire, I just say that and think Edition 38, Wiltshire, Norfolk, Thames Valley Police and Sussex. So to any of our English listeners, be aware if you're in those areas, because that will not
Has
be fun.
Has anybody... thought about the fact that AI couldn't tell its arse from its elbow?
That's getting better.
Skynet will become
I don't
aware.
Know. Like, listen, I think it was over Chris the other day, and Chris was talking about he had asked ChatGPT or one of these things, you know, it was something about a percentage. I can't remember exactly what the question was, but he said, what is the percentage of things, whatever it was? And it came back and said 2%. And he said, no, I don't think that's right. And it came back and said, oh, sorry for the error. You're right. It's 4%. And he says, no, I don't think that's right either. And then it said, oh, yes, apologies for the error. It's 10%. And he was like, what?
Have you ever done this?
No.
I do it all the time with AI. See, on ChatGPT, you can get it to tell you things if you want.
Yeah, so if you tell it it's wrong, it'll tell you something else, even if that is wrong.
Basically, it's like, no one of those people that just tells you what you want to hear. It's one of those.
Just like the government.
Pretty much. That's why if I use it for any research.
It's like perfect for the government.
You have to sort of take it with a pinch of salt or check anything on it. It's good for bulking information, but like to get specifics, you need to be careful because it just depends where it pulls information from.
Jeepers.
But it doesn't like arguing with you. It rolls over.
It'll say, no, you must be right.
Megalomaniacs will love that.
Oh yeah, 100%. Any Porsche fans in the room?
Nigel? Yeah.
So the Boxster and the Cayman.
You're not a Porsche fan, but.
Ah, yes. I do like a Cayman. Do like a Boxster as well, but I do like the Caymans.
Boxster and Cayman, yes.
So the, what's that, the 718 generation? That's the new ones. They're not good with Porsche numbers either, or Merc numbers. Is no longer available in the European Union due to safety concerns. So safety concerns are weird ones.
They're stopping production?
Yeah, in European Union of them. So America will still get them. It's something to do with cybersecurity laws. They're coming in July. So I assume this is to do with like keyless entry and things like that. Because at the minute we know all the Range Rovers and stuff are getting stolen left, right and centre. But Brexit has done us a favour because Porsche fans, you can still get it in the UK. So whatever this law is coming in, it doesn't apply to the UK yet. But it's, so you can still buy Porsches.
So Porsche have had to cease their production of Boxster and Caymans, and that's a big blow.
Yeah, in Europe, like that's their home continent because of cybersecurity laws. I dig into this and I can't find what it actually is. But it says the UK, not bound by the same EU legislation in this instance, will continue to offer the Boxster, Cayman, as well as the Macan for sale. The forthcoming EU cybersecurity laws mandate that vehicles failing to meet the specified requirements will be eligible for registration. So there you go.
Very good.
Or
not, if you live in the EU.
That's it.
Canada. Have you seen this?
No.
13-year-old.
Oh, no.
Took a Hurricane for a little joyride.
Oh, shit.
And wrote it off.
Oh, fuck.
I'm really surprised that happened.
Oh, yeah. That's smashed.
Is that Laura Armstrong? Looking to see if he can buy that?
Let's go say he's hiding in the bushes there. Shout out to any Volkswagen owners hiding in the bushes. If you know, you know.
Not much more to say than that. That's basically, the headline is basically the whole story. It was going for auction. It's a kind of confusing thing. It says somehow he managed to convince somebody to give him the keys, like he was working for the auction house or something, even though he was 13.
He's probably washing cars or some shit.
Him and his mate took it for a spin. Apparently it was raining and they got into a bit of difficulties, wrote the car off and took out somebody's fence.
imagine the come down of that. You know, the buzz of it, and the next thing is smashed and you go, oh, I'm fucked.
It says the driver and passenger fled the scene of the crash but were located with the cooperation of the vehicle owner. The driver's relation to the vehicle owner remains unclear. The driver faces a slew of charges, including speeding, driving without due care, failure to remain at the scene of a collision, and driving without a license. Because you're 13.
I was going to say, they'll just hammer you for everything anyway. Yeah. It's like they'll do you for no insurance, even though you couldn't get insurance.
BMW fans, good news on the 5 Series front. The M5 that's coming into production in 2024. They've announced they're going to do a touring version.
An M5 Touring?
Mm-hmm.
So they just recently introduced the M3 Touring.
M3 Touring, yep. So they finally got their finger out of the backside after everybody saying, why are you not doing it? So it's the first time since the V10 powered E61 M5 from 2005. So it's the rival, the RS6 and the E63 AMG offerings. The power figures, okay, there's all these sort of spec they're talking about, but let's get down to the nitty gritty of it. It's going to be a F90 derived 4.4 twin turbo V8. So in the F90 competition package, that was 616 brake. This will produce 741 brake horsepower.
Jesus. Is that something like the RS6s as well?
What do you mean?
The RS6 have been around that sort of power as well, aren't they?
Aye. But not the 63.3, just savage.
Can you imagine what a map will do to that?
Let's just face it. M cars are just monsters. So,
does it say they're four-wheel drive or the stand rear-wheel drive?
Be four-wheel drive.
Aye. It would have to be, wouldn't
I think
it?
The M cars have been, most of the M cars have been four-wheel drive now.
Oh, really?
Or the M5s.
Are all four-wheel
recent
drive?
Recent ones have been four-wheel drive. I think. Last one was anyway.
You'd like to think it, wouldn't you, the way the power's going them things?
I think it's just, it's crazy, the power figures they're talking about.
It's weird too, like they're a big heavy car, you know, like that's obviously a lot of power and a lot of weight, but like the handling characteristics, remember you talking about your RS6 years ago, it didn't feel nimble at all. Like, no. You know, what way does that feel heavier again, bigger again?
It'll be an absolute weapon. Some spy shots coming out of it and looks quite tasty.
It'll be interesting to keep an eye out for that.
That'll be 150 grand, I'm sure.
Oh, it's bound to be, yeah. Start from like 120 or something for a base spec one.
That'll be a rare thing. The older 07 M5 turn.
Older 07.
Remember Trevor Whaley had a black one?
Did they? I didn't know they'd done an M5 turn that.
07 to That's 10.
That's the E90, isn't it, that I love so much?
Yeah. Like,
looks like an owl. Yep.
That's it there.
Jeez, I didn't know they'd done that at all. I thought that was their first.
Mm.
There you go.
There you go.
Cool.
So, this is a couple of weeks old now, but Volkswagen trolled people.
Oh, fuck. Aye, I've seen this.
With the Harlequin
teaser. Title?
Yeah, and...
like a tore apart for it.
They got absolutely ripped apart, and I think Jamie Orr put a post up, oh, they got you, and people are going, no, they made themselves look like dicks.
Yeah.
So for anyone who didn't hear, they released a few teaser things. It was over a few days or a week, you know, so it wasn't like on April 1st about, if you know, you know, colours coming back and whatever, that made everybody think, oh, they're going to do another Harlequin edition on the ID3 or whatever. And some people were like excited about this. Not that we're like, we're not going to buy ID3s, presumably so. But it would have been an interesting marketing thing. And then they were like, oh, it's April Fool's. And everybody was really mad.
And everybody was going, you dicks. We are quite prepared to go and put a deposit in these.
But see, that's the problem too. Is like an April Fool's thing is on the 1st of April.
Yeah.
Not a week's run up to it. Fucking releasing stuff and teasering it and that sort of thing. And I think that's where they got so much backlash. And I think Volkswagen have moved so far away from their old user base. Yeah,
they've no interest in the enthusiasm.
I think it was basically just seen as a fuck you to them. You know, that's the thing.
But this is another one then that I thought, surely this is an April Fool's as well.
Oh, fuck.
But apparently it's not. Volkswagen Australia are developing, in conjunction with the University of Melbourne and an animal protection charity, a Roo badge, which will be a badge that will fit into the front where your badge is on the front of your Amarok or Atlas or whatever.
Is this for many you kill?
No, but it's like a speaker that emits something to like chase kangaroos away.
Oh, fuck.
Because apparently they have like 7,000 claims a year or something of cars written off because of kangaroos.
Get a deer one for Danny Mercado.
Danny could do with one of these. It says it replaces the regular VW badge with one with a built-in speaker that plays meaningful sounds to kangaroos. These apparently include
fuck off and kangaroo
bird alarm calls, pet predatory noises, and the sounds
of kitty.
Other kangaroos stamping their feet.
I think I would make the kangaroo stand there and look like, at what the fuck is this?
I read it and then I did a Google search away from the site where I read it to be like, is this an April Fool's? Apparently there's loads of sites that have it and I'm like, what's happening?
So kangaroos are afraid of pedophiles? Is that what you're telling me?
Moving on.
Does it play like the old guy from Family Guy? This is his voice. Hey, Chris. Do you ever see all like the random like Chinese knockoff cars? Remember years ago they used to be like Chinese knockoffs of like
Clarkson continually mocked it.
Yeah, like
Top Gear
minis days, and things like that.
Like a Wish version of whatever.
Their Range Rover.
Yeah.
Well, they're not fucking about now because I'm going to show you something here that looks like a Land Rover Defender.
I mean, that is a Land Rover Defender.
And is a Chinese knockoff. So I sort of went down a bit of a rabbit hole when I was looking at this. This is a 4x4 knockoff Land Rover Defender for 15 grand when you work it out, their money versus ours. Now, obviously, imports and stuff, and they'll probably never even allow it into the country. But the only real difference between them is it looks... The article said that it looked different. Like, the front end looked totally different. To be honest with you, it doesn't look that much different
to me.
And it's not a bad-looking thing.
And the back of it is identical.
Identical, yeah. And it's got, like... very similar breakover angles for like off-roading and things like that. It is four-wheel drive. It's a 250 horsepower, 2-liter petrol turbo. You know, the things should perform kind of thing. And this is the thing, is like the Koreans years ago, like Hyundai and stuff, like 15 years ago or more, were getting slated for their interior build quality, and they've just come up and up and up. And it's the same thing the Chinese are doing.
Mm.
And they're now building, like, apparently European Tesla Model 3s are now built in China. And Model Ys, I think, for the Chinese market. Now, so much of it is now built, like, not Seat, Cupra. Some of their models for the European market are built in China now as well. So you're finding that the, you know, the people's going, oh, I wouldn't drive a Chinese car. I'm like, well,
you probably actually already are. Yeah.
And it's just coming up and up and up, which is mad to see, like, because people think the misconceptions of it, but they're, China aren't fucking about. I think Volkswagen have learned that as well.
I think Volkswagen are getting burned because a lot of their sales was China, and now with this
domestic cars,
Chinese, yeah.
Well, I think one of the Chinese manufacturers released the first solid state battery powered car.
Probably BYD.
Sometime recently, yeah.
That'll change electric BYD cars.
Dolphin.
That'll change electric cars completely. Yeah. Solid state batteries. Mm-hmm. Cost a fucking fortune, I'm sure, but you know, once the technology comes down, that'll be it.
Yeah. That's me for news.
You ugly?
Ollie?
Aye.
That's me as well. YouTube's in?
Yeah, I think we'll have to start with the Rashman Dubshed video.
Oh, fuck.
That was very funny.
It was, chef's kiss.
Them boys nailed that.
I forget the name of big dude, muscly guy.
Tommy.
Is it Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
Standing in front of that Japanese mini car and going, when your granny dies and you inherit this and get a £300 rift for it.
Yeah. So they did the whole run up. They had a Suzuki Carry there.
They done a port car scene video.
We watched
it.
It was very good too.
Jesus Christ, I laughed so hard at that.
They have some balls walking up the boys and going, your car's shit. What else is shit here?
What's your favourite car here? Wait to bring this shit out. I laughed so fucking hard at those videos.
Chris on it, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. They're all brilliant. But I didn't realise how much work was in that Suzuki Carry that they brought the Dubshed until I watched the video and went, oh shit.
That was a lot of work,
Because I remember them telling us when they were bringing it into the hall, but at the same time they're all bollocks and so were we. They were just wrecked. If you don't know what we're talking about, folks, check it. Literally just search the Rashman and fantastic. You'll see it.
Don't watch it in front of your kids.
Northern Irish humour at its best.
Or do, whatever you want.
The Port Sunday one was absolutely brilliant. And people not knowing how to react to them was just the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Another one I have then is our good friend Clark Coffey has been doing a lot of motocross videos and stuff at the minute. He is releasing one. I don't actually know if it's out or not. He sent me a preview of it during the week. And I think he said it was going out on Sunday, so maybe it is out today. He has a new project car on the go.
Excellent.
So he has he's bought himself Paul Glennon's old caddy van, which is a caddy maxi.
Yes, I've seen that getting towed. Yeah.
And
see him cleaning the moss off it.
Yeah. So he has that and a Passat 3.2 V6, and everything's going to amalgamate together into a show vehicle that he can haul his.
It's going to marry them together.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's going to be a nice van, obviously, but it's also going to be his motocross vehicle hauler as well.
That's a maxi, so there's plenty of room in it.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I think that's what he said was the normal caddy won't fit lengthwise, but it should with a maxi, so it'll be one to watch as well.
Cool.
And like Clark's editing skills are really, really good. It's a good video.
Yeah, he's getting good on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's good to see. Humble Mechanic has been tramping on as well with his build with the Mark 7 Golf R with the RS engine on it. No, not for you.
No.
It's very divided. The kit, the Ottinger kit.
I think it's the colour.
I love the colour. I actually quite like the kit. Certain angles I look at it and I don't, and then the other ones I look at it too much.
I drove into Halfords.
Don't like the colour, and I shouldn't like the kit, but I think it actually really works as an overall package. It looks like a BTCC Leon. That's what it reminds me of. It looks cool as fuck.
From some angles, I think it's... Looks like someone we used to shout at.
See, funny, Borley put into the group chat that he had ruined it. Yeah. And then Stefan was like, no, no, I don't think he has. And it's been very divided.
Yeah.
I see he's at work. He's in the woods this weekend as well, which makes me very jealous.
Mm.
I would fucking love to do that event. Who else have we got? Talking about Pete and concepts in the last one as well. He's another video out detailing what he's going to do with where to cut and stuff. Mm. So he's been basically butchering this Metro to build the 6R4. And you can see him actually getting more comfortable in the camera, which is good. And talking a wee bit more about what he has done in the past with the Escort and things like that. So that's what we hinted at about how, oh, I've done a bit of body work before. And I'm like, yes, you have, John. Yeah. Quite a lot.
Bit modest.
And then the final one I had was Drift Games, as we talked about, was the walkthrough of the gutting of the building, which was
fucking... The building's being pulled down there, I think.
I'm not surprised.
Mm. All I have to say about YouTube is basically talking about the exodus from Car Throttle. So AutoAlex basically started up doing the YouTube thing out on his own. He left Car Throttle last year and started doing content. And his colleagues have followed him. First off, it was Top Dead Center. So Edmund and Will, they started there 2 months ago or a month ago, started doing content. And then this week they announced that Jack and Ethan have started off a channel, All The Gear. So they're all going to be working out of the same unit. So... fair play to them. If it means more content, of builds and a bit of automotive fun, I'm all up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Car Throttle, I liked some of them, I didn't like some of them, but now that they've all split up, I'm like, okay, I can watch who I like now.
You can pick and
choose. AutoAlex was one I did not like.
Yeah. Looking forward to what they're bringing out anyway. And if you're really, really bored on YouTube, myself and Gethin were on Here's the Crack podcast, and you can listen to us talk crap about Dubshed for an hour.
Yes, I actually need I need to listen to that. Is that a local podcast?
Yeah, it's two of fellas from Armagh, and one's Ross from Ballymena, but they all live in Belfast now. They sort of chat about local issues, people, bit of fun, bit of crack.
Just anything that's happening in Northern Ireland, basically.
But say they try to get people that are in Northern Ireland, stuff they're doing, stuff like that. So I had us on to chat about Dubshed. We actually recorded a week out from Dubshed. So
very good.
The stress hadn't really hit at that point.
Oh, that's good. Aye. Two rambling idiots on it.
Yeah, ramble we did. So
I like
it. Watch it. Watch at your peril.
I have a video.
You have a video?
Yeah.
Hit us.
It's not on YouTube, but it's the Midlands teaser for their Euro Project show that Ross Delaney shot for them.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Class video.
Yeah.
Put it on YouTube because it's impossible to fucking find.
It was out on Paul's Facebook page.
The only place I could find it was on Paul's Facebook page. I'd seen people posting snippets of it on Reels, but I could not find the fucking video anywhere.
The scenes on Paul Glenn's YouTube channel.
I was going to say, and it's quite a good video as well, yeah.
But yeah, guys, put it on fucking YouTube.
Paul's just uploaded this
on his own one, yeah. So
there you go, Paul. Do it.
Before we move on, we'll take a second to talk about our sponsor. Speaking of Motorfix, I'm Paul Glennon.
Yes, because one of the things on the video does say presented by Motorfix. So why not indeed?
Yeah.
So I've mentioned before that Motorfix can look after your car, but they also provide fleet maintenance too. Located just off the M50 in Clondalkin, Motorfix are committed to providing you and your business with a world-class service with the backing of a family-owned business. Specialists in all types of fleet vehicles, let their experienced mechanics handle the stress of RSA routine maintenance inspections, diagnostics, servicing and crash repair so you can focus on the rest of your business. With investment in the highest quality facilities, tools and technicians, Motorfix are there to help you keep the wheels turning and your business earning. Motorfix also have a fully kitted out mobile service vehicle to assist your fleet on the road, and should the worst happen, they can arrange recovery to their workshop for repairs. So if you're looking for honest, quality and trustworthy service for your fleet, look no further than Motorfix Dublin. Check out motorfix.ie online or call 00353 1457 8687. You can also follow them for updates on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok by searching motorfix.ie. So we had sort of planned then to talk about Dubshed quite a lot in this episode, but I think we have with our own projects. And then obviously the questions here come up, there's a lot about Dubshed, so we'll save repeating ourselves over and over.
Just again, thanks very much for everybody that came.
Yep.
Everybody helped out. It was a great success this
photographers,
year.
Yeah. Some of the photography and stuff afterwards is class, and it's nice to get a wee buzz seeing your own car. That was cool.
Yeah, cool.
I haven't had that in some time.
It was quite windy.
It was very windy.
There was a storm warning for Saturday, and luckily we didn't get
my
any rain.
My curry chip got sandblasted at one point.
To be fair, that was really the only negative, I think, from the whole
was the wind.
Was the wind.
Yeah.
And that, like, they can't blame us for that, surely.
And thank you to the traders.
It can't be our fault.
The traders and car exhibitors that came on the Friday to set up. It made Saturday so much easier.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. If you're showing at Dubshed, arrive on Friday, folks.
Yeah. Good.
Helps
it's good,
us.
It's good to see the support for the local car scene.
We had most of the hall parked. I think we had like 20 cars or something or less to park on the Saturday. It was great. Mm.
Fantastic.
Love to see it. So, questions then, folks? Let's see what we have here.
What do these maniacs want to know?
So, first one we have then is Larkin Martin Mark II. Why do we always leave finishing our project car until just before a show?
Procrastination.
I think there's a bit of procrastination, and I think there's a bit of underestimating how much is actually to do as well.
Touch of while I'm there as well.
Yes, things do spiral a wee bit out of control.
Yeah. Everybody works, well, not everybody. Most people work better with a deadline. Like, there's no way you would have got that car done if you hadn't had a deadline.
Oh, no. It's still been chipping away at it and running away and painting the engine bay and everything else I want to do. Clean_works, that's Jake. He says, do you ever have an oh fuck moment in the workshop and think at least it's podcast content? Pretty much every time.
Regular contributor, Connor.
Regular contributor, setting the car on my foot and thinking of breaking it. What else?
Biggest moment was I've told this story about the Corrado, the 24 valve. I jacked it up to check if there was a gearbox leak. The locks click in at 10 or 20 mile an hour on a Mark 4 limb.
And then she locked the door.
And it locked itself, and there was only one key to the car.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Which was in the ignition.
That was a proper mired moment.
Yeah. We're talking about my dad there at the start of this.
That's right.
He got a bad doing. He was working on the pickup, him and my uncle, over Dubshed weekend. And so he threw the jack in under the front subframe in line with the badge, like heading for the front of the thing, and was letting the jack down. And the jack is like, it's a fucker. It's like real on-off. And he let it down and it opened the valve too quickly. And the pickup dropped down on the bar of the jack with his hand under it and his elbow on the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to him yesterday, and what he described it was as it pinned him down basically like that and held it for a few seconds, and then he heard a snap and his arm just went like an S shape with the full weight of the pickup on it.
Delightful.
And it broke his wrist at the ball socket and done all mad weird shit with tendons and stuff. Yep. Went to the hospital. So apparently he got up and looked at it and went, oh fuck, and just pulled it straight to straighten it back out, and then went, we're going to the hospital, and off he went. And he's in a cast now to his elbow and waiting to have it rebroken and tendons reattached and stuff on as well.
Oh, so, that sounds fantastic. Yes, fun.
He's going to have and the best of it is he just got his bike sorted for the summer.
Oh, that's so just gonna be great timing.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic day out. Right.
So there's a public service announcement, folks. Just be careful as always. As a man's been working on stuff like that all his life, and it happens.
Yeah.
Yep. VW_DB_Dealies says, with VR6s been seen more often, is there anything to be said for a Wookiee's meet in Ireland? And
seen more often?
Yeah.
So, seen less?
Well, I suppose transplants and stuff. I suppose I will.
Back in the day, there was a lot of VR6s.
A lot more of them. I think we should do a Wookiee's meet. That would be quite good. I'd be on for that. I think there would be VR6s.
I'll hold the 2 liter turbo meet then. We'll go pop bang, pop bang, pop bang.
He's all wearing your wee dresses, you bitches.
Popcorn meet.
Here, at least we'll go and pass you in our wee dresses.
Really will I. We'll sound better though. Jack_slowup. What's your go-to handbrake turn, steering wheel to the right or the left? I'm a lefty.
Right.
Aye, full lock on to the right.
Yeah.
Aye, and you want the car. Aye, you are on the back end of the car as you're sliding. Yeah, aye. Yeah, that's...
At the end, give the sham hand.
Oh, yeah. Funny, even if I'm drifting or sliding a car, I always prefer to be sliding with the passenger between me and whatever I'm going to hit. It's the best way to describe that.
Sorry, I just have to go and attend to my dog here.
Yeah, I did hear a squeak there.
What the hell he's got down here, I do not know.
What about you, Lee?
Yeah.
Yes, the right.
Same.
I think. Yes.
Do you want to come back to that?
No.
You're all good?
Just have to think about it.
I'll do.
It must be to do with being right-handed.
Yeah, I've actually always wondered why as well. Why am I more comfortable? And I used to wonder, was it because, you know, not that anybody would ever drift roundabouts, but because you're more comfortable doing that?
Yes, because you're normally going in that direction.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, do left-hand drive people feel the other way? Let us know. We have left-hand drive listeners.
On the back, I think my dog has learned how to open door handles.
That's good. And he's impressive, considering he's about a foot tall.
He's an absolute dick.
Lee G. Farrell. Lee says, that retard with the drainpipe exhaust out of the bonnet of the Jetta was praying his engine would pop. Great show, super high standard, and talked a lot of shite. Yes, he was correct. It was a...
Correct in all accounts, sir.
Yeah. Yep.
I think even the Port Sunday Rashman video.
He was, aye. Giving people cancer, sticking their face on it was impressive. Paul McGrath, or McGrath Paul, I should say. Who's the prettiest Englishman you've had a fry with in the last 2 weeks? Unfortunately, by default, it's going to be him. I'll give him that.
Great timing on the visit, by the way.
Yes. So he landed to us on the Easter Monday, which was like 2 days after we recorded, and demanded I take him for a fry with super sauce, which is what he got.
There you go.
So, and chips as well. Excellent. We ordered a lot of food. We ordered too much food.
It's tasty though.
It's very tasty. Adrian McGuire, 95. Car you most enjoyed at Dubshed, and two, the mod done that made you go, that's pretty cool.
Favourite car at Dubshed? Can't even remember what was there. In my head, I'm walking through the halls, but I can't remember what was there.
I have so many nice things.
I love the two pickups that were the front of the Logan.
Yeah, there was the American ones with the V8, and then obviously Geddes's with the 24 valve.
Yeah. I always like Coleman's Porsche. I just think it's just some so different.
The Slambo's one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So unique. And just executed well with the wheels and stuff. What do you think?
Mine's probably Gary's Panda on hydraulics with the audio and the bed on, from a favourite car. That or Craig Coleman's PS13, the turquoisey coloured one.
Yeah.
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 I really like that car. The mod that made me go, that's pretty cool. I did like one of the DB Dailies guys has a wrapped A6. I don't know if you've noticed this or not.
The boot lid. Yeah.
That's something the Honda boys used to do with the saloon boots years ago in America. So like anybody that hasn't seen this car, obviously, when the boot lid lifts up, it also like pivots on a hinge and sits level. So the back lights are still facing the way they would when the boot lid's closed. I thought that was pretty cool. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah. I like that white Escort.
Flip, how to forget that. Oh.
Oh.
The rally car one.
It's a perfect balance of a built car, but showy. Finesse.
So that car belongs to, I didn't realize this until I got talking to the son, but I work with the son, and he was telling me, do you ever see another RSR Escort Mark 1, but it's not a Rogue going version like that one? The green one?
Yes.
Same guy. It's green and gold.
Very good.
So the green one is 400 and something horsepower and 800 kilos. This one's only 300 and something horsepower.
It's just so good.
Aye, it's a beautiful car. What else?
The lineup of the Concours Fords is very impressive.
It was. And as much as that's not my thing, it was class to see them all there.
Good parking there, by the way, folks. Very good.
No, that's good. That's good. I like that. I'll take credit for that, even though I wasn't there when that was parked. Steph and I were towing my car down. That was Liam Patty, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Hard to look past Gethin and Phil's Mark 6Rs.
Gethin's car looked incredible.
Yeah.
And then Sean's
photos.
Oh my God, Sean's photo of his car. Absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. What's he, Tartan Photography?
Yeah. His photos, he just gets better and better, Sean.
Aye.
I was so tired. We were doing the judging on the Saturday night that we were going around, and I said to Patty, I was like, right, we need to go and have a look at this Mark 6, not realizing that it was Gethin's Mark 6. And then I walked up to it and was like, Oh, this is Gavin's.
I guess he changed the wheel on as well. Yeah. The wheels look really
I was all confused.
He has a set of LMRs on it now. And
do you know what I wanted to do and didn't get doing it? So Gethin has a white Mark 6R, for anyone doesn't know, and then Phil has a black Mark 6R, and they were parked back to back. I would like to have parked my Mark 2, my black Mark 2, against Dylan's white Mark 2 with the two VR6s in them.
That would be cool.
I'd like to have got that cool. together. Yeah. But he was already parked up long before I arrived, so I was like, ah, fuck it, doesn't matter. Yeah. Plus, I didn't want to be at the door because I predicted it would be dusty and sunlight.
Good
and
call. Yep. Good call.
What else have we got? Robert underscore Mark 5. Robert says, best engine for a future Mark 2 swap, asking for a friend, which is an absolute fucking lie because he bought a Mark 2.
A VR6. End of.
I'm always torn between a VR6 or a 20 valve turbo.
18T. I think a VR6 probably be a hand air conversion, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless somebody's been at it before you, like mine, but yeah. Yeah. It'll go relatively straight in with all the Mark 3 parts. The 20 valve parts you need to do, or the 20 valve turbo parts you need to do, have the loom reworked, wipe some stuff out of the coding for like the key and the clocks and
plumbing,
stuff.
Intercoolers.
Intercooler. It's not impossible to do, isn't it? You know, OEM parts, most of
you'll
it
you'll get more
up.
Power, but a VR6 would probably be a hand air conversion.
That's it. His is a small bumper car. I'd be more inclined to say go 20 valve turbo, despite mine being a small bumper car, but I'm on air. It's, I don't know, 20 valve and a Mark II is really
sit
nice.
Low too.
They do sit very low.
And, you know, a 20 valve turbo, get it up to about 200 brake. That's perfect power for a wee Mark II chassis.
Yep. Aye. Like, you don't have to go mad with, you know, a KO3 or a KO3S, I'll see just above 200 horsepower safely, wouldn't it? Yeah. Like, and that's one what you need in that car. No poke, no love, straight from Canada, says, Connor, you made it. Massive high five, homie. I made it indeed. It was fucking skin on my teeth. He also says, the show looked amazing. Great job, guys.
Thank you.
So, actually, a few people messaged saying the show looked well.
Good team.
The quality this year was fucking outstanding. Like, the fair play to anybody building cars for, because it was really good.
I was very
good.
Impressed with the cars that turned up. It was very, very good.
S14 OCP. It's got a hug, Simon, at the show. He says, is it a piece of piss organizing the other two shows compared to Dubshed?
Yes.
Lee answered correctly.
All eyes on Nigel. There's still a lot of effort goes into those shows, but like, it's a lot less.
Don't think we're just hire somewhere out and turn up. There is a bit of effort, but Dubshed is just on a different planet.
Aye.
Yeah, it's a monster.
So it's one of the biggest shows in the country.
Sound like Hugo Duncan.
That's it. Or fucking Nolan. Brown 172. He says, is the best driver contest open to guest presenters?
Oh, the gauntlet has been set.
There's a
Nolan. If it's go-karting, like Richie'll clean all
Richie'll
of us.
Smoke us.
Yeah.
I'm hurt. There's no evidence Richie's ever beat me in go-karting.
I've heard Richie can steer.
He can. Richie's like myself. He's a previous life as amateur race car driver.
But you're going to say something else here. You talking about dresses earlier on there, were you?
Oh, yes. I would say Brian would win that hands down, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Grant Gilliland. Grant met over for Dubshed as well.
Yes,
with the rest of the guys.
Jordan and a couple of our guys came over.
Jumped on the boat.
Oh, yeah, real good deal.
I was telling me the fucking
40 quid return or something?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then he said he had absolute FOMO and couldn't. He was like, he says he was killing him not getting over because it's the first year he hasn't brought the car. And then he was like, oh, fuck, it's 40 quid. I have to go now. Yeah. He just said it was a long day traveling, but it was well worth it. So it was good to see him.
On that note, Grant, if you hear this, let us know if CleanFest is happening. I'd be very interested to know if it's still happening because nobody could. There's no information on CleanFest in September.
Oh, really?
Nothing.
Oh, shit. And the guys weren't over this year, either.
He's talking to Carl and he thinks it's on, like, but...
I hope so, aye.
There's nothing out yet as such.
Grant says, dream engine swap, what engine and what car?
I think I've talked about this before. 2.5 five-cylinder RS3 engine and a Mark II with a four-wheel drive platform.
Yeah. DSG or manual?
I would have to go DSG for that setup.
Mm-hmm. I think so as well.
I think the only... Am I right in saying you can only get a manual RS3 and a TTRS? You can only get automatic in an RS3?
I don't know. No, you can get an RS3
manual.
Manual, because Tofty's is DSG, mm-hmm. and he said he would have went manual only for the colour of this one. Right. It come up. Aye. But to be honest with you, in the car like that, like the Mark II, that's a lot of power. DSG is probably your better option.
Six cylinders sound good, but the five cylinder just...
And they're fucking fast.
And they're tunable to high heavens.
Mm-hmm. What do you like?
1.6 straight diesel in a Corrado.
You're obsessed with that.
Let me just pick the vomit out of my mouth here.
She's been talking about doing this for 10 years now to annoy me. And I'm like...
Let me know you don't do it so I can turn up with matches and a big carton of Pedlo.
No joke, because I bought my Corrado.
A priest.
The reason I bought it was to take the VR out of it to put into the Vento. And then I thought, just for the crack, I'll put a 1.6 diesel into the Corrado.
I would say to retrofit that on a 16 diesel would probably be really hard.
It'd be very funny though.
You can actually use the speedometer from a B4 Passat and it goes straight into the Corrado dash. And they had a TDI.
Because there is a lot of Passat bits and pieces in a Corrado. Mm-hmm.
Subframe. For me,
door handles.
Genuinely, like I don't dream big with stuff. Like 3.6 into the Mark III would be what I would like to do. I can't see me ever doing it because they're a bit of a bollocks to get the run right. There's a few crowds have sort of nailed it in the States. And it's just like so fucking costly to do. Like the donor engines and stuff are not very available here. We're in America. They're fucking, they're everywhere.
On that note, I follow a car dealership, Glen Crawford Car Sales in Scotland. Like Lee Dogger. You remember Lee Dogger used to come to our shows?
He
does the detailing for him. And he's got quite a good TikTok account. And he has just traded in a Mark 5 R32 with a low pressure turbo conversion.
Oh.
340 brake.
Shit, I will have
three door manual. It's a wee bit tatty, the car.
What
10 grand,
it?
Blue.
Fuck, that's
10
nice.
Grand's on it.
That's a lot of car.
I was waiting to see what the price was. Now, it's not an HGP twin turbo 600 brake monster, but it's equivalent of back in the day. I remember boys used to just stick a charger on a 12-valve VR6. Mm-hmm. That's sort of
It's going to be totally unstressed at that. Like, yeah. You know, it's probably just... That's the sort of power that car should have had from factory.
Doesn't need an intercooler or anything. It's just a wastegate pressure.
The 3.6s are 300-odd horsepower, 280 to 320, depending on what variety you get. And like for me, that would be perfect on a Mark III platform. And I mean, it's totally unstressed. There's no turbos, no supercharger.
I think he said... The conversion kit was $5,000.
Right? Just bolt straight on then? Uh-huh. Or, well, relatively?
Seats, he said, for $5,000 for that turbo conversion. It's just wastegate pressure turbo. Aye.
Yeah, if it works, it works. Story. That's a lot of car for $10,000. So what's a Mark V R32?
Glen Crawford Car Sales.
You're going to give six.
The boy that owns it.
You're going to give $6,000 for one anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. And if it's a proven setup, fuck it.
Must he text Lee and see what's it like? Is it rough or is it
rough? He'll know. Like, that's the thing.
I would like to do something with like a big American V8 or, you know, something.
Something different for here.
Like an LS or a Hemi or a Demon or, you know, something like that. But I think then because the engine physically is so big, you'd have to put it in something really big.
Aye.
And then most of the stuff that would be big enough for you to put it in, it already came in, you know, like a pickup or one of those big American muscle car. But that's the whole point. They're already in them, so...
LSs aren't as big as you think. They're quite small for what they are, but people are putting them into MX5s.
Like
they're enough. They're able, like there's a bit of cotton to do, but you can get it in.
LS and a Mini.
I love VTEC Minis.
Oh, and the bike engine ones as well. Like Zed cars do a lot of those bolt-in conversions.
A few came to Kyrgyzstan track days, like and wee VTEC. There's one that had an Accord Type R 2.2 in it. It just went.
Oh, shit. The fucking H22 would weigh more than the Mini did.
Fierce.
I like that.
Good topic, conversions, eh?
You have to think as well of, like, if you're putting something that big in a small car, it's not going to drive well.
No.
Because they're going to be so nose heavy and...
Fuck me, the VRs.
All the power's going to be taken up with pulling themselves around.
Well, you had a van with a VR in it, and that was nose heavy.
It was hilarious.
And technically it bolts into that platform, like, you know.
Yeah. The tail swung around on it around the corner. It's not
I remember nice. The first time I did a VR conversion in the Mark III, and like it was noticeable when I took it out.
That's
the
like putting a horse in your bonnet.
Oh, 100%. And
that's one thing to consider, Robert. You are doing a conversion. a six-cylinder ain't light.
No, it's not. And it leans forward.
Yeah.
You have to be sympathetic to the platform. Like, people who put red tops and stuff into Novas back in the day and stuff, the chassis can't handle them.
But it's fun.
But it is fun, absolutely granted. But that, they just pull themselves apart.
Around that time, there was a fella, what do you call him? He had a black GTE Nova. And he kept the original engine. I think there's quite a heavy cam and head work on it. Manifold, just all. But it was so quick.
Mm.
It would beat 2 litre 16 valve.
Yeah.
But it would handle.
That's the other thing. It will actually steer. Yeah. That's the thing.
I forget what they are standard. But it went like it was like a rocket.
Drift boys use LSs quite a lot, don't they? So I guess they do fit in. Although, I tell you what. The engine bays in BMWs are massive when you actually see one when the engine is out.
Yeah, Connor Old's car sitting stripped them in. They were standing there going, you could put, there's a lot of room in there. Who else have we got? Richard McMurrin says, just wanted to say how great Dubshed was this year. Very well organised.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
His wee cabrio was looking good too. I love that car. Arn Noodle Hegarty.
It's keeping him away from his Mark III, though.
Arn isn't everything.
Yes.
I know how he is.
I noticed what I just realised what I said as I turned and looked at you there, Connor.
Like my Mark II. Arn Noodle Hegarty says, love Dubshed again this year. Thanks to all involved. My favourite car was Adam's MX5 and then the Ukraine Face, which is one of the cars got lost in the Drift Games far, which was fucking really nice. And lastly, Marie.D91 says, favourite meal of the day? It's breakfast out at the weekend for me with a nice cappuccino.
Are we talking what type of food or just dinner, the time that you're eating?
Whatever. What do you fancy?
Big lunch guy. Not a big breakfast guy.
No, neither am I.
I like dinner.
I like dinner. Dinner's my thing. Good savoury dinner, good hearty dinner.
Proper.
Last night I fucked something together and it was literally wee mini fillets, chicken mini fillets out of Tesco's that I mixed up some like random spices and stuff, rolled it into, bagged it into the air fryer with mashed potatoes and a mushroom and white wine sauce, and it was fucking delicious. Here's a hint. Do you like onions?
Yes, very much so.
I love onions, right?
Onions are gross.
Take a full onion and just
throw it out the window.
Fucking no.
Well, throw it on somebody walking by.
If you're going to do that, hopefully it's me because I fucking love onions. Throw it into the oven.
Great timing, Lee.
Throw your full
onion. Throw it in the bin.
Not out the window or in the bin.
I can see it in the Southdown Observer. Man struck by onion.
Place lovingly your onion in the oven for about 40 minutes and just let it burn, right? And then peel the burnt layers off. And so the first wee bit of it, then once you've peeled off, the first bit of it is like really well cooked and like caramelized. And then as you get into the center, it's more like a softer, like boiled onion because it's sweating. And I just had that with
cooked
it.
Its own juices.
Yep. So when you're cutting it up, you get all the different variations of the onion itself with your meal. Fantastic.
Chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. I did that last night as well.
A chef's kiss or an onion?
Both.
All right. Okay.
That is us, folks, for
I wonder questions. Why there was all these onions laying in your driveway. Like.
Yeah, that's what it is.
French chefs.
Time I see one.
Connor out. Before we go, we'll take another second to talk about our other sponsor, Studio 10 Detailing.
Studio 10, been a busy boy.
He has indeed, and I'm sure he'll be as busy after Dubshed as he is coming up to
he
it.
He was straight back into it Monday.
He was, God love him. Fair play to him.
I do not envy him. I was straight back into two, but I was not physically working as hard as he was, I'll tell you that.
Saw the cars on show. He had detailed Gethin's car, which looked absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm. The white Mark 6R.
It had the full package and ceramic coating.
Owen McGuire's Bora.
Owen McGuire's Bora. Who else had he done was there?
Like, this is the thing we talk about is, like, this is why you go to Studio 10 and you see the cars there. Like, Gethin's car didn't win a prize. Because obviously he runs the show, but Owen's Bora did, and that can be the difference. Because when we were going around judging, and we'll not talk about the judging because it was a shit show, because it nearly killed us all. But like, those are the details that make and break things like that for folks. You know, you're looking around a car and you're seeing the details in it, and this is where this comes from. So like, it's part and parcel of what Robin does at Studio 10.
The sad thing is, seeing you're collecting a car from Rob, you realise this will never be as clean as this again.
That's it. Yeah.
He's so, me and my brother were talking about this. Like, you realise his attention to detail is just unreal and nothing gets missed by him. And that's why you pay for his service, because he is one of the best around.
Mm-hmm. So, we'll call it there, folks.
Because
I am done.
Yeah.
Dunzo.
Yep.
I'm going for Sunday dinner now.
I'm going home to make my lunches for the week.
Lee? Going to bed?
Maybe. We're going to the cinema tonight. But,
there's no Formula One on the Monday, is there?
No.
No.
Lee's going to the cinema tonight. She's going to watch Ghostbusters and I'm going to sleep in the seat. And
Ghostbusters.
Then, there's new Ghostbusters out. Well, it's been out for a while. Dubshed prep meant that I could not see it.
I'm thinking of buying Dune 2 on Amazon at the minute because Dune 1 was brilliant.
I don't know what that is, so that sounds good.
The remake of a 80s classic.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't even heard of it.
Yeah.
It was weird for me because I love 80s movies.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like the obscure ones.
We've digressed from cars a bit.
We have.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Let's go home.
That's it. Right, folks. Fuck yous all. We're out of here.
Yeah.
If you want to
catch us and all that social media crap.
Aye. We're on there somewhere.
We're way to bed and feed our faces and stuff.
Aye. That'll do.
Bye.
Bye, folks.